Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, yes. Yeah. America. Are you ready?
Wake up, everybody.
12-man sport is picking it up. Oh, yeah. I never get sick of that. What a beautiful, beautiful evening. Of course, today is March the 29th. We are wrapping up this month, March Madness, all that time. We're trying to also keep Robert's cousins from being on the court at the Pelicans game. But, you know, that's what we do.
Oh, man.
Marcus Marutro, man, is officially here. And, so first and foremost, I'm going to kick it off with my co-host, Mr.
He was ready for that all day.
I've been waiting for that, man. I'm not gonna lie, I've been waiting for that. And I got it in. Shaky, how you doing?
Oh, man.
Oh, man, I'm doing good. How you doing, bro?
I'm good. Robert Ford, you know I had to wait for you, bro. You know that.
He's American. He's been ready for that one all day.
Mm-hmm. Robbie, you knew that was coming, though. You knew that was coming, though, right? You knew it was coming.
Oh, man, that was hilarious.
Laying in wait.
Let's kick this on. I got to say, I was. I'm not going to lie about that one. But it's all good. We're Fish Talk Sports 12, man, as mentioned. Reach us. You know the number to call in. It's 424-243-9519. I've got that memorized in my head. We're also available on Twitter. If you go to @12, THMAN Sports, we're there. And then finally, we're on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/talkingsports, the 12th man. Or if you put in 12th man sports, you will find us as well. Gentlemen, we have a lot of topics to discuss. And obviously, Major League Baseball is right around the corner. And that's what we're going to kick it off. So let's kind of get this party started. And not that I'm a fan of Jeff Samardzija, you know, but initially he's going to kick off the news of the first show here, kind of talking about this, how he blasts Cubs on that wait till next year approach. And I guess stay tuned, JQ. I'm going to kick it off with Rob about this. And I guess, and I'll save the Mets for you, JQ, but what do you think about this statement, Rob, that Jeff Samardzija is actually saying? And not that I'm a fan of his, but go ahead and kick us off.
Well, I guess the sounds of it is, you know, the Cubs haven't won a World Series in like 400 years. And so Justin Samardzija had no confidence in the Cubs. You know, I think the Cubs kept promising him, hey, we got these great farm players that's going to be coming up through our system. We're going to be competing for a world title here real soon. And they offered Samardzija a 5-year, $80 million contract. He didn't buy into it, and he wanted out. And, you know, I hate to say this, and I'm a little afraid to say this, but I think the Cubs have a really good chance of winning the National League this year. And so, I mean, this may come back to bite him, but obviously he did not see the vision, and he got tired of the approach of, hey, we got farm systems, we got a great farm system, great players coming up through our program. And they went out and got some good free agents this offseason, too. And so obviously I can understand that from Samardzija's standpoint. Like I said, the Cubs haven't won in 400 years. But I think they actually have a legitimate shot this year.
The curse of the Rob Ford. What are your thoughts about this, Jake?
Yeah, and I would tell him, I hate to say it because they're in my Reds division. But, yeah, you know, that lineup is just loaded. You know, they came to get all the bats for Fowler and Soler and Schwarber, and then you got – Rizzo and Chris Bryant. I mean, they've got a nice lineup. And then, like you picked up on them, like picking up John Lackey as well, and Jason Hayward. Let's not forget about him as well. The Cubs are really, really loaded. So yeah, he was a little short sighted, but I can understand from his perspective at that point because they were in the midst of just a terrible cycle when he was there. But the flip side of that is Justin Marge's been a little bit overrated. If we want to be honest, he hasn't really lived up to what they thought he was going to be coming out of Notre Dame. He wasn't great for Chicago, and he wasn't great for Oakland. And he's been getting lit up a little bit this spring for San Francisco, and he might be able to hide a little bit behind Cueto and Bumgarner. But you come out here and say something like that, you better go out there and be that, you know, dependable third starter for that San Francisco team where everybody in Chicago is like, yeah, good riddance, Jeff. I'm glad you didn't take that money because it allowed us to do other things with it. So, you know, I understand from a standpoint, but he's got to pick his own game up.
Now, the Cubs offered him 5 years, $80 million. The Giants gave him 5 years, $90 million. Did they overpay for him?
Yes, they paid for potential, but he hasn't lived up to it at all. I think they did overpay for it, to be honest.
Yeah, I can agree. And like I said, this is clearly personal, and this may be a personal attack, but every time the Braves decided to make a trade for Jeff Samardzija, he never wanted to play for the Braves. Maybe he didn't like the Braves growing up, whatever, because I'm serious, they tried to get him. So I don't really care. You know, I'm not a fan. He goes into the, you know, Jay Cutler, Bob Stoops category for Andre. I can care less about that joker, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, that's personal. But, you know, I hope he, like, struggles. I hope they hit, like, 5,000 home runs off of him, and he goes and, like, cries the river. So that's why I hope he doesn't do anything for the Cubs. That's why the Cubs will continue to be bad. So that's the curse of Jeff Samardzija. Yeah. Sorry.
Dang. I don't know, man. I think the Cubs have got a real good chance of winning the National League and possibly even winning it all. But we'll see. They, like I said, they haven't won in 400 years. So we'll have to see if they can overcome that curse.
They're going to muck it up somehow. Thanks to Jeff Samardzija, they're going to muck it up somehow, some way. So, anyway, that's my 5 cents. Clearly, that's a personal attack, but, you know, that's what I got. All right, this is all JQ. The Mets, they can finally breathe a sigh of relief that Matt Harvey's going to start. I know he had, like, a little scare. Anything you want to talk about this, JQ?
Yeah, I believe he had a blood clot in his bladder. He said he needed to urinate more often. That's what he came out and said. And yeah, I mean, he's definitely the ace of that staff. But the crazy side of that is that Mets rotation, and that's actually who I'm picking to win it all, only based off the strength of that rotation and the fact that Citi Field is so big that they can get away with more mistakes than the Cubs, which is can at Wrigley Field, because a pop fly can turn into a home run at Wrigley Field if the wind is blowing out the right way. But you think about that rotation with Syndergaard and DeGrom and that, and they get Wheeler back, and they got Cologne. Like, if there was any rotation that could take, you know, Matt Harvey being hurt a little bit to start the season, it was them. But I know the Mets are really breathing a sigh of relief because that rotation is really six deep, and, you know, you could put Bartolo Colon basically in long relief in case something happens to one of the starters, but I can't see them getting beat around like that. I think they're going to end up having to trade one of those guys to get another bat. But I'm happy for Matt because he's one of the, you know, up-and-coming dominant pitchers in the game. And those are my two teams, the Cubs and the Mets. I'm glad you started off with those. I think they play for the National League title this year.
I agree.
Cubs and Mets is what Rob and JQ are trying to get in somehow in there. But, you know, it's going to be interesting, said these guys. And I concur with you, JQ, in that they have a deep rotation. So I don't think it's going to affect him as much. And like I said, there's a little scare. The good news is that he does seem like he's going to obviously be ready for opening day. Go ahead, Rob, on you, sir, about the about Matt Harvey.
No, I agree with everything JQ said. Obviously, this is great news for the Mets. And obviously, you want to see every team play with their best player. So this is great for Major League Baseball as well. Of course, great for the Mets. And I totally agree. I think we're looking at a collision course between the Mets and the Cubs. And I think that could turn out to be a great series and a great series for baseball if that's what happens. And I know Andre is a Braves fan, JQ a Reds fan, but this is actually a series that I'm actually rooting for that would take place in the National League. I think it would be very entertaining to watch that lineup go against the pitchers of the Mets. I think it would be very entertaining.
Yep. Yeah, and it's a rematch, right, from last year as well.
It is
a rematch. And, you know, and the reason why I go with them is because you'll mess around and the Mets will come to town and you'll get Harvey, DeGrom, and Syndergaard in the three-game set. And it's like, good luck scoring three runs in three games. I mean, they can roll that out on you. That's just nasty. So that's why I'm going with on the strength of the pitching.
Yeah, in respect to Robert, you know, I'm not going to comment as deep about that, but, you know, we're not anywhere near that. So I just look to to see good baseball. And, you know, no, that's being fair. That's being objective, too, obviously. So, because we're not, you know, Braves,
right.
You know, is this year. But I like the future, obviously. So we'll keep an eye on that. I just look for a great series. Huge fans of, like, teams like the Royals and stuff like that. So hopefully we'll, you know, I just want to keep it competitive. So, yeah, looking forward to that as well. So good job, Rob, putting some baseball right at the forefront here. As we're getting
Absolutely.
Ready to kick off Major League Baseball next season or next week, excuse me. So, yeah, good job. All right, gentlemen, let's kind of make a move here and let's talk about some NFL mock draft coverage. Good job, Rob, putting the mock draft up in regards to some recent free agency activity. And, yeah, sir, so let's kick it off with you. I know we got a lot of things going on, so let's kind of talk about your mock draft, sir. Go ahead and let you kind of lead that, Rob, and we'll get going into that.
Well, real quick, I'll start off with our three teams first. Then I'll cover the teams picking from 16 through 20. I think the last time we did the draft a few weeks ago, we did 11 through 15. And then I'll just, you know, take any questions that you guys might have. I'm going to start with the hated Atlanta Falcons. You know,
you know what, Rob?
Hey, man, I'm starting with the team first, man. Come on, man.
You didn't have to throw that in there, man. You know what I'm saying? You could have just said you start with the Falcons. All good, bro. You know, just for that, y'all ain't got no
money.
Hey,
you hate the Saints, too. I know it's all good. You know, we brothers.
Okay. All right. I'm going to let you finish in the words of Kanye West. Go ahead.
Well, right now, I have the Falcons obviously need to improve their pass rush tremendously. They were near the bottom of the league. And that's the one thing they haven't really had a chance to address in free agency. That's also a position that's very hard to address in free agency. Teams do not let good pass rushers go unless you're the Miami Dolphins and you let Olivier Vernon go. But so that's something that's very hard to address in free agency. You really have to cover that in the draft. So I have the Falcons taking Kevin Dye, defensive end from Clemson, at the number 17 spot at the moment. In the second round, I have the Falcons. Even though they signed Muhammad Sanu, I still think they need help in the receiver position. I haven't taken Tyler Boyd, wide receiver, 6'2", 200 pounds from Pitt. Very good speed, ran a 4.47 at the combine as well. With JQ, the Bengals, also Marvin Lewis has made it clear this offseason that he would like to add some more defensive punch to Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins. I am taking Emmanuel Agba, defensive end, Oklahoma State, in the first round. Tremendous athlete, and I think he can definitely add some additional pass rush to that front four to go along with Carlos Dunlap and Geno Atkins. Getting to my Saints here in the first round, have the Saints taking Shaq Lawson, defensive end from Clemson. Ironically, I think he's a very similar player to the current Saints defensive end, Cameron Jordan. They both are great pass rushers, and they both play the run extremely well. The Saints obviously finished 31st in the NFL in defense, so they desperately need help. I mean, they've made some free agency moves, but they still desperately need help, and they're going to have to address it in the draft as well. In the second round, I have the Saints taking Michael Thomas, wide receiver from Ohio State, another guy JQ is familiar with. The Saints have quietly developed a nice young receiving core of Brandon Cooks, Willie Snead, Brandon Coleman. But I still think they need another receiver to develop. And might have them taking Michael Thomas in the second round. I'm going to start off with some of the teams, 16 through 20. At 16, Detroit, taking Darren Lee, another guy JQ is familiar with, outside linebacker. From Ohio State, a guy who has great sidelines and sideline speed. Doesn't make any bad moves on the field. In the second round, Detroit, haven't taken Derrick Henry, running back from Alabama. They need some thunder to go with that lightning with Amir Abdullah, you know, a great versatile back, but they need some punch and adding that additional to develop that 1-2 punch at the running back position. We already talked about Atlanta at 17. Indianapolis at 18, desperately linebackers. And their 3-4 defense, Reggie Ragland, inside linebacker from Alabama. There's some concern about whether he can play on third downs. We'll have to find out, but he can definitely be a run stuffer for the Colts. And Kamalai Correa, if you guys are not familiar with him, this could be a sleeper. Defensive end slash outside linebacker from Boise State in the second round for Indianapolis. and Buffalo at number 19. They've lost some cornerbacks in free agency, haven't taken Mackenzie Alexander from Clemson at 19. In the second round, they haven't taken Jordan Howard, running back from Indiana, a great explosiveness. And last but not least, the Jets, another guy JQ's familiar with, Eli Apple, cornerback, Ohio State at number 20. And in the second round, I have the Jets taking Connor Cook, quarterback, Michigan State. Still some unknown with Ryan Fitzpatrick at the moment.
JQ, I'm going to let you go first. Go ahead, sir.
I love the Agba pick for the Bengals. I don't know if Dodd is a little high at 17 for the Falcons, but I know that the Falcons generally won't gamble on character risk because they need defensive end help too. And you may get Noah Spence still sitting there, and I know his measurable threat from grace at the combat, but the dude produces on the field. And also Robert Ndiche from Ole Miss. You know, just two guys that they have concerns about off the field. I wonder if Atlanta will roll the dice for two of the more, you know, kind of more upside and potential of any, I think, of the defensive linemen that would probably be there left at 17. But I'm not sure, you know, if Arthur Blank is really going to pull that trigger. I like your pick for the Saints. The only thing I wonder if Rankins will still be there, the defensive tackle from Louisville. I think he will be phenomenal in the middle of that defense to help keep blockers off of the recently signed James Laurinaitis, also former Buckeye. But not really anything else outside of that. Outside of the Jets taking Connor Cook in the second round because they took Bryce Petty from Baylor last year. So if they did that, that would be an indication that they don't think Bryce is going to be that guy or nothing more than a backup quarterback in the league. But I can't really really quibble with anything else you said because you mentioned Reggie Ragland. The knocks on him is will he have to come off the field on third down? And that may be high for him if that happens, but, you know, he still has a pretty good track record at Alabama of stuff in that run. So, you know, I can't really quibble with anything at that point in the draft.
Yeah, so just some of the players you mentioned, I'll just go over where I have him. Sheldon Rankins, you mentioned him, right? Defensive tackle from Louisville. I have him going to Oakland right now at 14.
Okay.
Just a couple of picks behind the Saints. Noah Spence, this is a guy that obviously dominated the Senior Bowl, did tremendously on the field for Eastern Kentucky. As you mentioned, there are some off-the-field concerns. Now, NFL scouts was hoping he was going to have the measurables that Von Miller ran a few years ago. He actually ran a lot slower than Von Miller. So, I mean, there's a little concern with that. But like I said, you do have to turn on the tape. I have him dropping number 26 to Seattle right now. I think Pete Carroll would take him in a heartbeat, replace Bruce Irvin.
Yep.
I think he is going to fall a little bit. I think before the combine, I think you're looking at a top 10, top 15 at worst with Spence. I still think he goes in the first round, but I think he drops a little bit lower. And you mentioned Robin and Kim Dichie. I am going in the second round of Dallas at 34. I mean, I think this is a guy you're going to see a big drop, I think, late first, early second round at best. And most NFL teams project him at defensive tackle or maybe a 5 technique in a 3-4 defense scheme. And so I think you're going to see him with some of the character issues. Tremendous athlete. You know, you could possibly get a steal or you can possibly get a bust. But I have him going 34 to Dallas at the moment.
That's crazy because he was like a top 5 pick before the season started. To drop all the way into the
absolutely
top, just into the top 5 round. I mean, that's a whole round of drop, you know. But that's what happens when you fall out the window smoking weed and being drunk, you know. Calm down, bro.
Smoke weed every day.
I'm just saying.
Go hang out with
a lot of
man.
Oh man.
Oh goodness, guys. I love it. All right. Just good picks, Rob. I mean, normally I try to give you a hard time. I know it's tough to do a mock, so I actually give you a lot of credit. You should start putting, like, what number this is, because I think, what is this, number, like, 6, according to what we've been moving on?
Probably so. I think I probably posted about 6, but I think we've talked about it. I think this is the 4th one we've discussed on the show.
Yeah. But you posted about 6 of them, so good job with that. I sort of feel like you kind of made it personal with your Saints, but that's a whole other conversation. I'm just saying you made some.
I look at every team's needs and concerns in the situation, and look at best player available. So you got to weigh all of those things with each pick.
He's talking about the hate of Atlanta Falcons comment. I believe.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, yeah, I mean, it's no secret.
good moves. Like like I said, you know, I would actually be ecstatic if we did get Tyler Boyd at that second pick. You know, I don't know if we're going to if that would even happen, because we may go defense for the first two picks. I'm still thinking that we may go for another player that JQ knows pretty well, in that Braxton Miller may be there for us in the third round. That may be a guy we may be targeting. So, and making a transition. I know he's a project, but I know we've had a lot of conversations with him. I think – I'm not sure if Detroit would go Darren Lee, Rob. That would be a guy that we like as a Falcons fan. We would go defensive end if he's there, either, you know, Kevin Dodd and or Shaq Lawson, if it doesn't – if you guys don't take him with that 12th pick. So we'll see how that plays out too. Just some conversation about Reggie Ragland, because here in Atlanta it's kind of either or, because some people are saying he is Curtis Lofton 2.0 because, as mentioned, he is not coming off on the field. He's not a third down guy. So do you make a pick of a guy that high as a linebacker whenever he's only a two down player? Now, he's going to be fantastic. He's going to be leader of the defense, great inside linebacker. But if we're playing nickel probably, what, 70% of the time or even 80% of the time, this may be a wasted pick in Reggie Ragland. Not saying he's a bad guy, but for somebody that needs to be an impact player, I don't know if that's somebody we can take a risk on that high. So I know that's kind of something just as a little secondary thing as well. Regarding Cincinnati, love the Akpa pick, as JQ said. I know some way, somehow, they're going to grab a Georgia player. So just keep that in mind. if Leonard Floyd is there, he's pretty much Cincinnati.
Yes. I mean, Marvin Lewis will run and put that pick in person. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't know what that is, but that always happens, man. So, you know, we'll keep that in mind, too. So that's me. I'm really hoping that Will Fuller, I'm hoping he's not a first-round pick. I hope we can get him somewhere, too, but that's just a dynamic player, too. I know, that's just kind of selfish, you know, but, you know, like I said, somehow, some way, I think we're going to go defense for the first two picks. So we may, like I said, I think if Braxton Miller may be there, the best available person kind of there, too. I know we haven't gone deep enough, Rob, into third round and fourth round as well, too. But I'm sure this is going to be an interesting draft. It's a really heavy defensive draft, guys. Do you want to say anything else about that, guys, about that? I know we're going to talk about Colin Kaepernick and any trades, but, you know, anything you want to say else about kind of this draft and where it's going, kind of the direction, because I know it's always interesting. And is there a franchise quarterback in this draft, too? So go ahead. I know I kind of threw two questions at you guys, but go ahead, sir.
Well, real quick, I'll just touch on real quick about some of the players you mentioned. Braxton Miller, obviously, as you mentioned, he's an interesting prospect in this draft. I have him going somewhere in the late second to somewhere in the third round, so that's very well could be a possibility in that draft. I don't see Atlanta taking him at 50, but if he's somehow available in the third round, that could possibly be of interest. But I think he's going to go somewhere in the late second and third round pick. You mentioned Leonard Floyd. This is a guy, initially you had him somewhere going 15 to 25. I have him going 10 to the Giants right now. He's been, his workouts
have been
coming back. And so he's doing really in the Giants. Even though they got Olivier Vernon, I think they can still need some help getting some additional pass rush. So I have him going number 10 to the Giants. Now you mentioned Darren Lee. You got to remember, Detroit picks ahead of Atlanta. And
I know.
So I have him going 16 to Detroit at the moment. And but yes, if he's on the board for the Falcons, I know the Falcons definitely have some interest and could be it can also help them as well. And you mentioned a Reggie Ragland. I think Reggie Ragland has to be picked by a team that plays a 3-4 defense. I don't think he's going to be your prototype middle linebacker in a 4-3. And that's why I think he's ideal for a team like the Jets that plays a 3-4. That's what he played at Bama. I think he's that type of inside linebacker that he has to. I think he's going to be better suited for that scheme in the 3-4. And that's why I see him going to a team like the Colts at number 18. And franchise quarterback, let me ask you this. Do you consider Matt Ryan a franchise quarterback?
You know what? Now that I'm thinking about this, because I know that's who your boy is being compared to. So, you know, we don't have to go into depth about this, Rob, because now I'm thinking that time-wise, we got about 6 minutes. We can save that whenever we go deeper, but I know where you're going with that. And I would – that's a tough question to ask me as a Falcons fan right about now. But
Well, I'm going to ask JQ that question. He might have a biased opinion. I mean, an unbiased
opinion.
Go ahead,
JQ. Go ahead, JQ.
I mean, he has, you know what, he has been, you know, it's a slippery slope, and yeah, we're going to run out of time on that. I think he does enough regular season-wise to be a franchise quarterback. He has delivered in the big games in the postseason, kind of the same thing I go through with Andy Dalton. And last year I would give him all games. I just don't think that offense under Shanahan clicked at all. They just never got it together, so I'm not going to kill him on this past season. But he's on that line. I can't say yes, but I can't say no either because he's not a bum. But, you know, I can't really say, yeah, I'm confident that he's a franchise quarterback.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, even as a Saints fan, I consider Matt Ryan to be a legitimate NFL quarterback. Last year the Falcons had a horrendous player playing center, and obviously they got that fixed with getting Alex Mack free agency. They had so many bad snaps that cost them drives. So you got to think that's going to be fixed a little bit and help Matt Ryan a little bit. But I think Jared Goff is that kind of player. I think Carson Wentz could even top out to be someone similar to a Ben Roethlisberger too. So I think you have two legitimate quarterbacks. I mean, Wentz is very mobile. He's got a strong arm. He has the size, the decision-making, the leadership. And so I do think you have two legitimate quarterbacks in this draft that you can build your franchise around, just to answer your question. And I think I still think both of those guys go in your top 10. I think the 49ers are in play. Obviously, Cleveland is still going to be possibly in play. And I was going to say that. Watch the Eagles. I could see them moving up from 8 to jump San Francisco as well. So I could see that happening too.
Good deal. Yeah. Gentlemen, we got 4 minutes. Let's talk about quarterbacks really quickly here and try to be brief because we got to spend some time about this in the OT. Speaking of quarterbacks, 49ers will not trade Colin Kaepernick unless blown away by an offer. Anything you want to say about this, JQ? Yeah, go ahead, JQ. Go ahead.
Well, you're blown away. Blown away by offer. You mean by actually getting the offer? Nobody's been ready to get from anybody. I mean, they don't have any leverage anymore. RG3 going to Cleveland took about all the leverage out of the market for San Francisco. Because now you're just looking at Denver and maybe the Jets. And the Jets, I think, are playing that game of chicken with Ryan Fitzpatrick. But I think they're going to blink and give Fitzpatrick the money. So you're looking at Denver, who's only going to maybe make a deal for him, and Denver knows that as well. So they're not going to give them anything reasonable. They're going to wait them out until at least April the 1st to see if they give him $11 million. So, yeah, that's nice talk, San Francisco, but you're just waiting on anything at this point, I think.
Rob Ford?
Yeah, I totally agree with JQ. I mean, San Francisco is still looking for a quarterback. I mean, they're going to give Kaepernick a chance to compete and see what he can do under Chip Kelly. But if Jared Goff or even Carson Wentz, I think both of those guys can fit Chip Kelly's system and offense. If one of those two guys are available for them, I think San Francisco is going to pull the trigger. I mean, they're not sold on Gabbert. They're not sold on Kaepernick. Will they give them opportunities to compete? Yes. But if one of those QBs are available, they're pulling the trigger on it.
Go ahead, Robert. 2 minutes in, this is the OT portion. Go ahead and set that up, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show went by fast. I hope hopefully you all enjoy it. We tease you a little bit so you can tune into our OT tomorrow. So we're going to save the final four covers to the overtime. So that way you can tune in and listen to see what we got to say about the final four. So we did a little marketing strategy to tease you a little bit. Sorry about that. But we want you to tune in to our OT portion on tomorrow. When you have a break, definitely tune in. We're going to talk some final four. And then next week, we're going to be on Thursday night, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 p.m. Central. We'll recap the Final Four. We may even get back into some draft and getting ready for the NBA playoffs as well. Tonight, we're 30 days away from the NFL draft, people, so we are getting a little closer. All right, so make sure you tune in to the OT portion tomorrow. Join us next Thursday night. We appreciate you tuning in. Good night, people.
JQ.
Stay classy, San Diego.
There it is. We always love that, too. A lot of things to talk about as well, and it always seems like we get on a little roll there, fellows, and I apologize because I know I try to keep us going and try to keep the show moving, too, man. So just a lot of good topics to discuss. So I want to make sure we get everything in there and that we at least kind of address the main stuff that we want to hit going into the OT portion. But we still got a little time before it's officially transferred over.
Let's talk about this Kevin Sumlin conversation here about your boy Johnny Manziel. And he made a comment that Johnny Manziel has to change to make it in the NFL. So, Rob, what do you think he meant whenever he was talking about this particular statement?
Well, I think he meant exactly what we've been saying for maybe a year or two now. Is I think, you know, Johnny Manziel's had everything handed to him for most of his life, and he's been acting like a little spoiled little brat. But I think it's going to be a while before an NFL team even considers adding him to it. I think he's going to have to show that he's straightened up for at least a year or so before he's even considered to be on the NFL roster. And, you know, I obviously he competed, but I still don't think he's a legit NFL quarterback, too. So, number one, he's got to get his life together. Then, number two, he's got to prove that he can be an NFL quarterback, too, even after he gets his life together, in my opinion. So I think he has to work on getting clean and then, of course, you know, work on his game as well.
JQ.
Yeah, I'm not going to spend any more time talking about Johnny Manziel. I agree with everything Rob said. I mean, yeah, you got to stop drinking and gambling. That's cool. Yeah, you got to be cool. Get your life together to make it in the NFL. Yeah, you got to make a change like Michael Jackson. Look at the man in the mirror and relax.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
my God.
Yeah. You know,
say no to the alcohol, Johnny Manziel.
Just saying.
Oh, gosh. You can't make that stuff up. I'm going to be quick about this, another CTE lawsuit against the NFL. You want to talk about that, JQ? Not, then we'll talk about trading the pick here. For this,
I mean,
anything you want to say about that?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think we're just at that point where these things are going to continue to come out when, you know, you have more NFL players being diagnosed with Alzheimer's and dementia and dying and then having their brains donated and you find them that pattern of CTE. So it's going to happen. I think this is just going to be – this is just where we're going to be for a while until the NFL comes out and admits to it and actually puts some money and some safeguards in place to try to help it. But there's not a whole lot you can totally do because it's a violent collision sport and head collisions are going to happen. So, you know, you kind of know that that's a possibility when you sign up to play for the NFL. But it would be nice if the NFL would actually put some money behind it and admit that there's a problem in the wing.
Yeah, I'm going to kick it to you, Rob. And I'm going to say, too, I didn't get a chance to see concussion because I thought it would kind of, like, mess up my – because I'm a huge football fan, and I'm just thinking, man, is that going to mess up my perception of these guys? I mean, I know that everyone's getting paid, and they're making money, and they sign up for this, but it's just I don't want it to get dampened, like, you know, in my perspective. No, I know it's going to be a great movie, too, but just to see the repercussions of playing the game and, you know, and what happened, that's just one of those tough things to kind of swallow. So, Rob, I would kick it to you about another lawsuit against the NFL. Your comments about that particular situation.
Yeah, former Detroit Lions linebacker Tracy Scroggins filed a lawsuit today against the NFL in regards to this topic. And I agree with JQ. You'd like to see the NFL put some more money and admit that this is a serious concern. And Sean Payton made a comment this past week at the NFL owners' meetings that he felt like the NFL is way behind on helmet safety. He feels like they can do more to protect the brain, to protect the head. And so obviously that was something that he mentioned that he thinks the NFL could do more on for protection. And that's something I think the NFL should definitely be to be studying. And just real briefly, my comments, my thoughts on the movie Concussion, obviously it's not going to stop me from watching football because I love the game of football. I'm going to watch it. I'm a junkie. And, you know, you see how I am with these mock drafts. I've watched these college players, and I take this stuff serious. So it's not stopping me from watching it, but it just educated you, you know, especially for those of you, you know, for people that have sons, and you can make an educated decision on whether or not you want your son to play football or not. But it's not going to stop me from watching it.
Fair enough. That's cool. That's good to hear. Because, like I said, that's my fear, honestly. Like, man, am I going to, like, watch it and not want to – because I've seen some things that have been very disappointing. So just my little two cents on that. So anyway, that's just an Andre thing too. All right, gentlemen, stay tuned for this. We got about 12 minutes or so left here. Let's talk briefly about the Titans and the number one pick. So JQ, if I'm the Titans and I've got that option to trade it, should I do that? Do you think that there's a consensus number one player that's not going to make me, you know, move? Or do you think that they're in a good position? Or what's your thoughts about the Titans in that particular pick?
Well, I'm going to tell you like this. If you're picking number one, then, yeah, you should trade the number one pick because that means that you are a terrible football team for the most part and you got a lot of holes to fill. So, I mean, it's just honest the reality of the situation, right? You're picking number one for a reason. You got a lot of holes to fill. So if you get a decent offer for it, then yes. But outside of that, you know, I wouldn't just take anything. If you got a good offer, I would trade the pick. But I think, you know, since you already got Mariota, you're not looking at the quarterback. I think Jalen Ramsey is good, but, you know, he's not Deion Sanders, so I'm not going to take him in the top with the number one pick as well. So I just traded for DeMarco Murray. I just drafted Marcus Mariota. I got Lawan on one side. I think you have to put Thompson on the other side and protect your quarterback and go back to running downhill with Murray in a system that he's more suited to. And then you can kind of start to make that turnaround. Now, they have other holes to fill, of course, but, you know, if you can control the ball and run it and protect your quarterback, you can kind of limit the time your defense spends on the field being exposed. So that's why I look at it. Yeah, trade if you get a good offer. If not, take the left tackle, protect the quarterback, get a good run game. And you know Mike Mularkey wants to run the ball a ton.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why I believe that Thompson was probably the pick at number one.
That's the thing. So that's what I'm saying. There's a consistent number one player. Do you make that trade? Right now, it doesn't seem – I mean, obviously
I don't think
it
so.
Is, but that's – yeah, that's what I'm saying for your needs. Rob, it's on you, sir.
Well, JQ stole a lot of my thunder, especially a team like Tennessee with a bunch of needs.
He's doing a lot.
You obviously have to keep that option open as an option to trade down. You know, San Francisco has the most picks of any team in this draft. They have 12 picks. Right now they're sitting at number 7. They have a little bit of ammunition to possibly move up to secure a quarterback if they want to make sure they get the guy they want. And, you know, if you're Tennessee, you can drop down, maybe take the second best offensive tackle in the draft and Ronnie Stanley from Notre Dame. Obviously, he's not the elite athlete that Tunsil is, but he's still a very good tackle. It will be a solid pick for them and give them a chance to get some extra picks. If Tennessee stays at one, obviously I still think they should take Tunsil. Jalen Ramsey is a consensus number two player in his draft in my mind. He's got great versatility. He can play corner or safety. So he's going to be a stud in the league as well, and I think he'll be a future Pro Bowler as well. But I would still take Tunsil, just as JQ said. But the option, you know, San Francisco, as I mentioned, they have 12 picks, more than any team in this draft. They have a little ammo to possibly move up if they want to.
Sure, Chris, always be having picks. I love it. Anything else you want to say? JQ, sound like you were going to say something else.
No. I totally agree.
Cool. Let's talk about this real quick. I want to get to the final four really quickly, gentlemen, because I want to spend the rest of the time talking about some new things. So really quickly, any players, Rob, you want to watch for the final four really quickly? I know we're going to talk about Oklahoma, Buddy Hield, but what are your thoughts really quickly? And I know we got about 7 minutes here.
Yeah, well, Buddy Hield obviously has been the best player in the tournament, and he can possibly carry Oklahoma all the way to this national championship. I think another guy for Oklahoma that's going to be important for him is Isaiah Cousins. He's a senior guard, can do a little bit of everything. I think he's the guy that could help them possibly as well. He's got to help Buddy Hield to carry him over. A couple of guys for Villanova, Josh Hart, Daniel Achifu. Achifu is obviously their top-notch defender in the middle, but medium, the effective. And Josh Hart, a junior guard, he can score, he can defend. He's 6'5", and he's one of the best rebounders on the team, too. So there's just a couple of key players. Syracuse, a guy I think really needs to step up for them is Trevor Cooney. He's the senior guard. He slumped a little bit in this tournament. They're going to have any chance of knocking off Carolina. He's got to help Malachi Richardson and Michael Jibinigi. He's got to help those guys. They're going to have any chance. Now, I talked about Buddy Hield being the best player in the tournament. Bryce Johnson for North Carolina has been the second best player in this tournament, averaging 21 points, leading the team in the rebounds and blocks. I mean, he's a hustle guy, just, you know, does everything for that ball club. Another guy who Carolina needs to really step it up is Joel Berry. He's shooting 26% from the three-point range in this tournament. In the regular season, he shot 37%. I think if he gets that three-point percentage back up, I think Carolina cuts the nets down with ease. I'm looking at a Carolina-Oklahoma championship game, and it's tough for me to pick a winner. I don't want to sound biased, but Buddy Hield, I think, can carry Oklahoma to this championship. But I'm going to say the Tar Heels win in a close one.
Whoa, JQ.
Yeah, no, that's me. He pretty much did a thorough job going through those. The only other person I would put in there is Marcus Paige. I think he's got to go to run the show and quiet that team and lead them as well. But everybody else he's mentioned is spot on for the four, and I have the same championship game and the same win in North Carolina.
Yeah, Marcus Paige is very streaky, man. That's the thing I worry about him. But, you know, like you said, if he's on point, then that's going to be a tough team. They're playing really with a lot of confidence. Buddy Hield's got some confidence, too, gentlemen. So, like you said, I'm not saying he's kind of Steph Curry-like, but it feels like that, too. You got to do more than – he does need some help. But if he can carry that team, man, that's going to be an impressive. That's what we want to see for the final, guys. I want to see that on Oklahoma, North Carolina finish. Great to see ACC representing, guys. No offense to the
Big
Ten
and
with that, gentlemen.
But it's really impressive to see that, too, as well. Cool. We got about 5 minutes here. Let's kind of wrap this up. We talked about the predictions. Let's talk about that. I do want to talk about the Bucks and Kentepo. I just probably butchered that. Starting point guard next.
Just call him the Greek freak.
Is,
that's what I call him.
Right.
The Greek freak. And Kentepo, I tried to do that. What is up with that move, him becoming the starting point guard, Rob? What's up with that?
Well, Jason Key had made that announcement today, and, you know, I had to listen to it like 2 or 3 times. I don't know if he was joking or was he serious.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Greek freak is a tremendous athlete. And I tell you, the Bucks, in my opinion, is this team is underachieved this season. I thought they were a legitimate NBA playoff team going into this season. Michael Carter Richardson, the Greek freak, Greg Monroe.
Yeah.
In my opinion, this team is totally underachieved. Doesn't look like they're going to make the playoffs at all. Yeah, yeah, Chris Middleton, yeah, great shooter from the outside as well. And so, I mean, I think this is a team that is underachieved. And the Greek freak can handle the basketball. I still like Michael Carter, you know, Williams as well as a point guard. So it's somewhat of a surprise. Maybe they see a little bit of Magic Johnson in him with that 6'11 size, looking over top of the defense, putting the ball in his hands more. I mean, he's the best athlete on their team. There's no doubt about it. But I was still a little shocked that, you know, he's going to be the starting point guard, if that's true.
That's just ridiculous. I mean, you can make him the point forward and still have him point guard. And he doesn't only have to carry point guard duties if you're going to let, you know, the Greek freak run the show, you know, from the foul line or the elbow as your point forward. But as a starting point guard, come on, man. I mean, it's never going to work out that way anyway, right? Because it's not like you're going to put a 6'2" dude on the guard. He's going to have the power forward guard him anyway. So, I mean, he's going to be the ball handler. So I don't think you're necessarily going to have the craziness where he's trying to guard somebody 6'3 or 6'2. It's just going to be he's going to be a point forward, and they're going to run the offense through him. So it's just going to be more of that. I don't know why they felt the need to come out and make this proclamation.
Crazy.
And I think, you know, as you've seen now in the NBA, I think for the last few years, I think this even started with Miami Heat when LeBron was there with the Heat. I think we're seeing positionless basketball. And I think that's what you're seeing in the NBA, and I think it's starting to trickle down to the college game, too. And to me, it's almost positionless now, the game of basketball.
Mm-hmm. Sorry about your Lakers, JQ. Sorry about that, but it's all good. And Carmelo and Chris Paul, opposite ends of the spectrum as far as Team USA. Carmelo wants to jump so he can know what winning is like, and Chris Paul will not play. Rob, you got 30 seconds. Talk about it really quickly. And JQ, you got 30 seconds, and we'll wrap up the show. Go ahead.
Well, Chris Paul's 31 years old. He feels like he needs to rest. Obviously, Carmelo Anthony wants a taste of winning again. As simple as that.
JQ.
Absolutely, and that's a shot at the Knicks and Phil Jackson to go to Levis to see what winning feels like again. Please believe that was a shot. It was just real subtle, and I totally agree on Chris Paul.
Craziness. Rob, go ahead and wrap it up. We got about a minute here. You can do the show next week here, sir.
And the Pelicans beat the Knicks, and the Pelicans have their top 7 players out. So that's going to show you how bad the Knicks are right now. But ladies and gentlemen, we'll be on Thursday night. We're coming at you on a different night next week. We'll be on Thursday night. Of course, Monday night we have the men's national championship. Tuesday night we have the women's national championship. And Wednesday night, we got a little baseball action. So we're going to be on Thursday night on next week, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 10 Central for our friends in California. I know y'all Warriors are dominating. It'll be 8 p.m. Thursday night on the West Coast on next week. So definitely tune in. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. Keep up with us, people. Good night.
Hey, come on, UConn women. UConn women. At least let's make it look like it's interesting because they are just laying waste to win this tournament. You know, give us a reason to check in. I want to see the Dominus, but come on, man. You know, keep within 20, please. Good night, good people.
Just play with them a little bit, you know.